Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad you have found your way here on this very wet Sunday. You can learn more about how we are church together in your bulletin. There are a lot of announcements and also a calendar of events. If you have a question, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship today to answer any questions that you might have. I'm going to highlight a few of the events that are coming up in the life of our church, and you'll find lots more information in that bulletin. This morning, we are celebrating All Saints Sunday, and one of the ways that we remember the saints who have died and the ones who are alive and well in our life today is through our memorial garden. And if you would like to purchase a brick to honor the life of someone, you can find that information there. Now, next Sunday, a lot of great things going on. First, next Sunday is Stewardship Sunday. So if you, for whatever reason, didn't get a pledge card, please let the office know. We'll make sure that you have those and we'll include some next Sunday. Also, following worship next Sunday is our first book discussion on the book Just Mercy. It's not too late to order a copy and join us for that beginning conversation. We'll have another follow-up conversation at the end of the month. If you are a young adult between ages 18 and 25-ish, I'm not quite sure where the ish goes on that, but Katie, our associate pastor, is really excited to get started an opportunity called Second Sundays for Young Adults. Next Sunday, you'll be meeting at 12:30, I believe, over at Pixley's for lunch. Also, please make sure you take a look. Lots of opportunities for volunteering this month, including the Church Mouse Bazaar and also the Food Link Mobile Food Pantry will be here next Saturday. So much going on in the life of the church, and I know in our own individual lives. Let us take this time together to center our hearts and our minds, to still our bodies the best we can, and focus our attention and energy on worshiping God.
If you are willing and able, please stand with me for the call to worship. Let all God's people sing praises. Let all God's people proclaim. Let all God's people offer thanks. Let all God's people worship the one who has liberated us and set us free. From generation to generation, we come to worship our loving God.
Let us bring our hearts and voices together in a time of confession. Parent, teacher, and friend, challenge us when we are confident that we have found a righteous path while ignoring the advice and counsel of others. Comfort us when we are so overwhelmed by the enormity of a task that we fail to try. Push us when we are immobilized by guilt, fear, or shame. Guide us when we are misdirected by pride and glory. Forgive us when we are quick to celebrate our successes before lamenting our failures. Love us when we have a difficult time loving ourselves. Help us to be the disciples you have called us to be. Amen. When we reach for God, we do not have to reach far. For God is always closer to us than we can imagine, even when we are doubtful, God's presence and love are assured. Thanks be to God. At this time, the children are welcome to come forward. So thank you to everyone who was here last Sunday for Fusion Sunday and helped us build the church. If you notice, right over around the pulpit, all the blocks that you all colored and decorated for us to help us remember what it means to be the church, we decided to keep them because they were awesome. So last Sunday we celebrated Reformation Day. Today, we are celebrating All Saints Day. But there was another that was in there. What happened this week? Does anyone remember? You don't remember what happened this week? Well, that's good, because that means I don't have to buy costumes next year, because apparently it's not an important Halloween. Oh, Halloween! Oh, good. Did you guys dress up? Yes? Lots of candy. Good. Oh my goodness, so lots and lots of candy. So you guys know what Halloween's all about. Costumes, right? Candy, yes. Well, being cold. But I'm going to guess that you may not know so much about what today, actually, the real day is November 1st. But you all don't come to church on November 1st. Happy birthday, you were born on All Day. What an awesome day. I bet you didn't even know that, did you? No, you didn't. Happy birthday. So this morning, I have a friend who put together a video. So we're right up here. Who's going to teach us? Because he did a much better job than I could ever do. Hi, Owen. It's your birthday? Coming up today. You're three. Happy birthday. Three is such a good age. Here, help us understand a little bit about All Saints.
Halloween is fun, for it's candy you seek. But did you know it's not the only holiday this week? All Saints' Day falls on the 1st of November, and we celebrate it together as a way to remember the saints of the church, both famous and not, for their example of faith and for loving a lot. What is a saint, you might ask your pastor? But I'll answer that question. It's probably faster. Saints are people who love God and others. They see everyone on earth as their sisters and brothers. We give thanks for those who have died this last year. We say their names. We smile. We might shed a tear. And as they sing God's praises, we can join in the chorus by doing for others what the saints have done for us. Be kind, forgive, tell other people about the love of God that makes you want to shout, God is great, God is good, God always comes through just like the Bible said God would. So enjoy your candy, but don't forget to say, along with Trick or Treat, Happy All Saints Day.
So now we know a little bit more about All Saints. He did a better job than me, right? Yeah, I thought so. Can we pray together? Ready? Dear God, thank you for all the saints who show us your love. Help us to show your love too. Yay, God. Amen. All right, you guys have fun in Sunday school.
The first reading of the word is from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 7 and 33 through 37. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest.
Our gospel reading for this morning comes from Matthew, chapter 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have places of honor at banquets and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all students. Call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." In a recent column for On Being, Duke University professor of Islamic Studies, Omid Safi, shares a story that is told and retold in the Middle East about how to help someone who's drowning. The story goes that a man had fallen into the river. He was not much of a swimmer, and was in real danger of drowning. A crowd of concerned people wanted to rescue him, so they were standing at the edge of the water, and each of them urgently shouting out to him, "Give me your hand! Give me your hand!" And the man was battling the waves and ignored their urgent plea. He kept going under and was clearly struggling to take another breath. And then a saintly man walked up to the scene. His approach was a bit different. Calmly, he walked into the water, waded up to his knees. He glanced lovingly at the drowning man and said, "Take my hand." And much to everyone's surprise, the drowning man reached out and grabbed that saint's hand, and the two came out of the dangerous water. The drowning man sat at the edge of the water, breathing heavily and looking relieved and exhausted and grateful. And the crowd turned to the saint and asked in complete puzzlement, "How were you able to reach him when he didn't heed our plea?" And the saint calmly said, "You asked him for something, his hand. I offered him something, my hand. A drowning man is in no position to give you anything." The story played out for me recently when I stopped by a neighbor's house. We were coordinating carpooling efforts for the sports our kids play together. And she said that she was on the phone, she'd be over in just a few minutes. And later she was sharing with me the struggles that she was having with her mother, whose mental and physical health was deteriorating. And you know this story. Her mother stubbornly refused to move closer to her daughters in Rochester, where they could actually be more helpful to her. And my neighbor was on the phone with her aunt, her mother's sister, because the aunt had called to see what the daughters were doing to talk sense into her sister, like they hadn't tried that already. Exasperated, my neighbor lamented how exhausting and draining it was to be a caregiver for her mom, her own kids, with a full-time job on top of that. She struggled to put into words how hard it can be to carry the burdens of being a caregiver, also trying to protect everyone she loved from the pain that she felt. There's an overwhelming amount of guilt and shame that we can feel as caregivers when all the responsibility comes crashing down on us. We start to feel like we're drowning from the stress of just trying to do it all. And how frustrating it can be when other family members and friends and well-meaning acquaintances, they stand on the shore, they see us drowning under the weight, and they start shouting, "Just give me your hand," or "Just tell me how I can help," or "Do you want me to sign you up for swim lessons?" Seriously, you know the things that people say, well-meaning, but there they are on the shore, and it's taking an enormous amount of energy just to listen to them, energy we don't have, energy we should be using to tread water. On this All Saints Day, this is a day where we have an opportunity to give thanks for those sopping wet souls who don't ask for our hand when we are struggling. They're the ones who walk into the water, come to us, and offer their hand. Jesus teaches that this is not a glamorous job. It's not going to get us a fancy place of honor at banquets, the best seat in worship, whether it be a synagogue, a mosque, or a church. It's not going to get us that seat behind home plate at a major league stadium for Game 7 of the World Series, as awesome as it would have been to be there. But that's not what it entails. If being noticed by others is our motivation, Jesus points out that we've missed it all together. And one feminist theologian reflects on this characteristic that Jesus lifts up, humility. How this is a core characteristic of those sopping wet saints willing to wade in the water and give us a hand. Humility, she writes, is a gift from God. And it has nothing to do with downcast eyes, a misty voice, and a noble story of sacrifice. Humility is living courageously in a spirit of radical connectedness with others, which enables us to see ourselves as God sees us. Sisters, brothers, each as deeply valued and worthy of respect as each other. A truly humble man does not deny his self-interest, but rather strives to realize how his interests are connected with the well-being of others. All others, not just those like him. And a genuinely humble woman does not seek to play herself down as if she should be small and insignificant next to others. No. Rather is able to love herself fiercely and struggles to extend this strong love to all others by advocating for their dignity and well-being. Humility is the root of our compassion, our ability to suffer with one another because we know ourselves as spiritual kin to everyone. that no one is beneath us or above us in God's world. You see, these sopping wet saints understand that we have all been drenched. It's an appropriate sermon for today. In the baptismal waters that claim all of us as God's own. Jesus had a strong sense of his place in the larger scheme of things in God's world. He knew that both he and his adversaries belonged to God. But Jesus, not the scribes and the Pharisees, had humility. The deep, embodied realization that we all belong to God. Jesus, in the words of Thich Nhat Hanh, knew his own true self, which involved an acceptance of the spiritual fact that he was neither more important to God nor less than his neighbor. Humility was a strong, sacred source of Jesus' own capacity for faith and hope and love. And it is our source as well. When we meet one another in a spirit of humility, friends, we are meeting God in one another. That which makes us spiritual brothers and sisters, and at the same time, others are meeting God in us. God is not only with us in our encounters, but is also moving in and through us. We are embodying God through our humility. It's here in the flesh and tangible and visible. You see, God did not stand from the edge of heaven when creation was drowning in their sin and suffering and saying, hey, you down there, just give me your hand. Just give me your hand. Or is there something I can do? How can I help? Jesus walked right into the water in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. God stood beside us and said, take my hand. And this is what it means now for us to be Christ's body in the world today and to live together as sopping wet saints for one another. May it be so for you and for me. Amen. morning, the prayers of the people will be incorporated into our prayer of thanksgiving with communion, just a few prayers in addition. And if you do have a prayer specifically that you would like for the church to be holding, please let me know after worship, or the elder who's standing at the communion table will also be happy to receive those. But this morning we also hold in prayer Rena Bills, who is at Rochester General. She's having some complications with ulcers, and we ask for your prayers with Rena. And from our children this morning, prayers of joy for trips and birthdays, sporting events, prayers for an uncle who is battling cancer, prayers for healing, prayers of joy for candy, and prayers of concern for loose teeth and dental concerns. I'm going to say the two are related. Oh, dear friends, the invitation is simple. Come, eat of the feast. This is not a meal to nourish the body, but to feed the soul. We receive the bread and the cup connected to the ages, to the saints of old who felt unworthy, to the seeker eager to know God, to the teenager who wonders what it's all about, to the child who eats with unburdened faith. Woven into this time are the hopes and the tears of generations. There is also great joy here, for no one is turned away, for God is the host at this table. And our Savior invites all those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with the disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. They recognized him. Friends, the Lord be with you. We lift up our hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right, a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, inviting us to live as your people upon the earth. Instead, we fell short of what you created us to be and went as far away as we could. Despite the generation of saints who invited us back, we shunned their welcome. So you sent your Son Jesus to be the guest of sinners in every time and place, that we might receive the gift of salvation. We give thanks for this time of celebration, for the one this meal remembers, the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For those who have gone before us, whose hands touched the bread, whose lips embraced the cup, we worship you, we glorify you. We remember those who have died in the past year. We celebrate their lives, even as we continue to grieve. Remember Jeff Shield, We remember Ellen Shields. We remember Winifred Sweetman. We remember Thomas Caffey. We remember Marjorie Hubbard. We remember Doris Falky. We remember George Bililovic.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
So with reformers and saints who have gone before us, with friends and neighbors sitting around us, we lift our songs of praise to you. Holy, 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 God of justice and righteousness, all creation keeps watch for your justice. Blessed is the one who comes to call us home. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. Glorified as your Son, Jesus came to show hospitality to all who go unseen in the world. He sought the lost and proclaimed salvation to the least likely recipients. As we remember his life, his teaching, his words, as we celebrate the good news of his resurrection, we speak of our faith, which often seems a mystery.
Christ died, faithful to the end. Christ is risen, your righteousness come true. Christ will return, hope and peace. And we raise our voices together, offering the prayer Jesus taught us to say together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And now, O God, send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and cup, simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, O God, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by this world. Through Christ, glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving are yours now and forever. Amen. And we do give thanks that Jesus had faith in those whom gathered around a table similar to this. He gathered those friends on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy. just as he takes common people, each and every one of us, and makes us holy. He did so that we might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He asks us to repeat this act, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith you wouldn't know how to ask for, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate in this meal together. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. those who believe in me will never thirst. Taste the goodness of God's grace. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Taste, friends, the goodness of the love and forgiveness and mercy of God.
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we, in turn, open our lives to be bearers of the good news, where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Having received from the abundance of the goodness of God, we offer our hearts in thanksgiving back to God. Let us continue our time of worship with the morning offering.
Thank you, gracious God. Accept, we pray, not just this money, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have done for us. Use them both in this place and wherever you might take us. Amen.
friends, we go out into this world to live as the sopping saints for Christ. No trouble with that today. Friends, go with the love of God in your hearts, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage that comes from the Holy Spirit to get up each and every day. Alleluia. Amen.
Come on.